In the verse which follows, God tells the Prophet that there are certain people who will be receptive to hear this message, the message of Islam, the message of the Quran, the message of God, of Allah. And God mentions that he uses this word al-dhikr, the reminder. And scholars obviously have debated what this word means. According to Tafsir al-Nur, this word al-dhikr is defined as being the Quran. And one of the proofs which is brought up is the following verse of the Noble Quran, which reads as follows: "Surely we have revealed the reminder, and we will most surely be its guardian." This verse from Surah al-Hijr, verse number 9 from chapter number 15, speaks about God as being the one who has revealed, who has sent down, who has conferred this Quran upon the heart of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And God calls it in this verse the dhikr, or the reminder. And God confirms that he indeed will protect this book, that this is a preserved book, it is a safeguarded book. It is safeguarded in the heavens as it is guarded on earth, that there is no corruption, there is no alteration in this book since the days of its revelation 14 centuries ago. It is the exact same book that the Prophet was the recipient of, and it will continue to remain so. And this is a miracle of the Quran, and this is a testament to the veracity of this religion of Islam. In this particular verse, God uses the phrase khashiya rahmana bil ghayb, or those who have a reverential awe of God while being in seclusion, as we translate it. And this can have multiple meanings. One of the meanings is that the individual has that deep sense of awe and reverence and fear, not a negative fear actually, but a positive form of fear, of a deep love and respect of the Creator, and so they do nothing to displease their Creator. One of the meanings of this phrase could be those who have that reverential awe of God while in seclusion, and so even when they're in their private sphere, they don't break the laws of God, even though the people might not be able to see them. Their family, their friends, the community, the society might not be seeing them, but out of the love of God, out of the awe of God and His power and grandeur, they keep away from sins. The other meaning, the second meaning of this phrase, that those who have the reverential awe of God in seclusion, is in relation to those individuals who believe in God, who accept God as their maker, as their fashioner, as their sustainer, as the one who provides everything for them, and that this belief is deep rooted within their heart, and so they have that fear of God, that reverential awe of God deep within their presence. And the third and final interpretation of this passage, this reverential awe of God, could be in relation to the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, the day when all of humanity will be brought forth and will be held accountable for their actions. And because such an individual has this reverential awe of God, they make sure that they don't break God's laws intentionally. They have that fear of the Day of Judgment, that awareness of this impending day. And so therefore, this controls them, keeps them in check, makes them to ensure that they do not break the rules of the Most High Divine. As for some of our takeaway messages for today from these two verses, the first is that when it comes to certain spiritually constricted individuals, people who have no concern for religion, for God, for spirituality, for worship, to advise them, to admonish them, to give them the message of God is like trying to drive a nail through a rock. Just as you would never be able to drive a nail through a mountain with a small hammer, with a handheld hammer. Similarly, there are certain people who are completely impervious to accepting the messages of God. Whatever you try to do, they will not accept it. And so for certain people, it is pointless whether you warn them or just ignore them and do not give them the message, that they are not ready. Their hearts are not yet receptive. They have themselves not yet built up that capacity, that ability to accept the message of God and to accept God Himself within their lives. Another point to realize and to keep in mind based on our first point and what we mentioned in the commentary is that just because somebody will not accept Islam, will not accept God within their lives, as God said, whether you warn them or warn them not, it is irrelevant. That doesn't mean that we're not obligated to still convey a message. The Prophet was still very much obligated to convey the message to the people of his time. And similarly, you and I are still obligated to convey the message in our time, even to people who we feel or who we know may not be receptive and accepting of it. it's not up to us to judge and determine whether a person will accept or reject the message. That's the ability, that's in God's realm, and that's up to the individual. But we still have to complete the argument to fulfill our responsibility and to convey the messages that God has asked us to convey. Point number three that we can derive from these two verses is that the Quran is a source of reminder, a source of remembrance of that which we have forgotten. That which we have forgotten due to our lives, due to being so distant from the time of the prophets, from this being distant from that time of our creation in the previous world. And so this Quran being referred to as a dhikr, as a reminder, it helps us remember our primordial nature, our fitrah, our God-given ability to know and recognize Him. And the Quran becomes the source through which we can re-recognize our Creator, Allah, God. And last but not least of the points which we will mention in our session today is that one of the qualities of somebody who has true faith, Iman, is that even when they are in their privacy, in their seclusion, behind the locked doors of their home, that they will still have that reverential fear of God. They will not commit sins simply because of the fact that God is ever witness. People might not be around. Family and friends might not be there. Colleagues may not be there. People from our religious center may not be around us, but that doesn't mean that we can now break the laws of God. No, those who have true faith will fear, will have the awe, the majesty, the grandeur of God in their sight, even when in private. We ask God to allow us to be able to imbibe the teachings of Surah Yasin and to be those who can follow in the commandments that are within this beautiful chapter of the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.